today on Annenberg Radio News.
No one likes having an adjustable rate mortgage, so why wouldn't you think people would enjoy having an adjustable rate electric bill?
Will Proposition 23 help the environment or hurt businesses? Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, October 21st, 2010. I'm LaTanya Kirkland. 61 LA gang members were arrested and indicted today on federal drug and weapons charges. The drug sweep, called Operation Red Rain, was centered in Harbor Gateway, as well as Long Beach and La Puente. Virginia Kice is with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. She says the arrests will make the community safer.
We've dismantled an entire drug trafficking network from the street dealer to the actual supplier. We believe these defendants were responsible for funneling large quantities of cocaine and methamphetamine into our communities. And with today's arrest, we've shut down that potentially deadly supply chain and cut off what was a key source of cash for some of the most ruthless and violent gangs operating in this area.
Most of the suspects face 10 to 20 years in federal prison if convicted. What would you do if the massive earthquake that's supposed to rumble through the Southland hit tomorrow? People across Southern California practice what they would do when the big one hit. Rachel Lee reports on the Great California Shakeout.
This is an earthquake drill. Right now, drop, cover, and hold on. Unless you're driving, drop to the ground now. If you're standing during a larger...
At 10:21 this morning, the shakeout began. This annual mock earthquake drill allows Californians to see exactly how prepared they would be if a big earthquake strikes. Preparedness is especially important at USC because the school may not immediately have emergency services like fire or police. Steve Goldfarb is USC's emergency specialist.
Anywhere there's a big disaster, such as a major earthquake, we have to anticipate that local emergency services such as fire department, police department, and other agencies will not be able to respond to our call for help right away.
The event was heavily promoted through flyers and emails, but participation was limited.
My professor didn't say anything about it.
My professor just asked the students, you know, like, what would you do and react during an earthquake, and then he read out directions. But then we didn't actually physically do the drill ourselves.
Those are USC students Nathan Park and Ann Sue. This year, it may not have been so widespread in participation at USC, but the popularity of the shakeout is continuously growing as a whole. Since the shakeout started in 2008, it's grown every year. This year, Nevada and Guam also participated, and British Columbia will start next year. Rachel Lee, Annenberg Radio News.
Earlier this month, St. John's Well Child and Family Center in Compton received a $9 million grant from the Obama administration's health care bill. St. John's Clinic is among the few places people without insurance can go for free health care. That means long wait times. That form very early in the morning. Here's Emily Frost and Dan Watson.
It's 5:30 a.m. and we just pulled up at St. John's Clinic, and there's already a line of about four or five people. It's drizzling, and it's very dark.
Antonio, but he goes by Tony, was first in line. He seemed pretty proud about it. When he had come before, he said he was about 13th in line. He'd counted. This time, he told his wife he was going to be first, and he was.
Melvin Richardson arrived a little after 7:30.
I had stomach problems one day. It led me to find out I had a hernia. Well, I just recently, in the last 90 days, got laid off. I was working for a big trucking company.
Melvin's now without insurance.
I think I came like last week and I had an appointment for 1:30.
Yeah.
I didn't get out of here until 4:30.
Jesus Rios also waited quietly. He too was an out-of-work trucker.
You know, I come over here because I finish my medicine.
At St. John's, Jesus's diabetes medicine is free, unless they run out, and then it runs him about $200 for a month's supply at the pharmacy. That's nothing, though, compared with his visit to the emergency room.
See, I go to the hospital one day, forget it, that's people not gonna hire. That people send me a bill for $2,000 for nothing.
Jesus made sure to arrive early because if there aren't enough doctors in that day, they'll turn people away after the first 10 or 15 patients. What will Jesus do if he doesn't get seen?
You go home and try to find medicine for your friends. Hey, you guys. Oh, yeah, I got a couple.
And he'll get there earlier next time. By mid-morning, Melvin, who was coming in preparation for his hernia surgery, was running out of patience.
I hope they get me out of here. It'd be their best bet to get me out of here, because I will get a little louder again. And I hate to say, but that's what it takes sometimes. Just sitting around on your butt and just waiting for them, you'll be here all day. I don't want to be up here 8 hours.
Tony was also reaching a breaking point. Though he was first in line and thought he'd be in and out in 15 minutes, the clinic staff couldn't find his file. He was still waiting 5 hours later.
He can find it. He said, lose. What did he lose? I can't believe it. I don't go to my work today, but coming over here, I come to my first guy, I'm waiting outside. Maybe 5 hours, no? Five? Yeah, I think 5 hours, yeah.
The clinic saw a total of 85 patients. Many waited all day. For Annenberg Radio News, I'm Emily Frost.
And I'm Dan Watson.
Proposition 22 aims to put local officials in the driver's seat by pushing state government out of deciding where tax money should go. Chris Foy looks at different sides of the story and the initiative's possible impacts.
If Proposition 22 passes, tax revenue decisions would be in the hands of city and county officials. Right now, the state government can choose where fuel and property tax revenue goes. This revenue usually supports schools and other social services in the form of state-issued bonds. But Prop 22 would stop the state from using tax revenues to pay for bonds. Because of fiscal problems, many local budgets are in the red. Prop 22 would fund new and existing highways, roads, transit systems, and redevelopment projects with money from the general fund instead of gasoline tax revenue. Supporters say transportation and other incomplete projects would finally be guaranteed funding. Mountain View Councilmember Mike Kasperzak is one of the local officials that supports Prop 22. In an online video ad, he said he does not want local tax dollars leaving his community.
Why should the state be able to come and steal our money to balance their budget? I can't go to my neighbor's house and rob his piggy bank to pay my bills. It's the same thing.
Prop 22 would take an estimated $1 billion from the general fund to pay towards transportation debt and redevelopment projects. That's out of nearly $6 billion a year from fuel tax revenue alone. The Legislative Analyst Office breakdown on Prop 22 says by putting the burden on the general fund, the state will have less money in turn to spend on everything else. Opponents of Prop 22 say this means over $400 million would be drained from public schools each year if the initiative passes. Elaine Manley of the Cupertino-Sunnyvale League of Women Voters said in a video analysis that Prop 22 would increase pressure on the general fund.
The proponents, cities, and local public safety officials want local government budgets to be under less strain and feel that transportation issues have taken a back seat for too long. The opponents, teachers, and statewide public safety officials feel the general fund is in such a crisis that this loss of flexibility will have dire results for those social services funded from the general fund, and that redevelopment agencies should not be favored over social services.
Prop 22 brings up an argument over California's only pot of money. The debate is over what is more important, state programs or local projects. Chris Foy, Annenberg Radio News.
The cool October weather continues. Tonight will be cloudy with a low of 58 degrees. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high of 64. The weekend will bring mostly cloudy skies with highs in the mid to late upper 60s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, the film Down for Life was inspired by the words of a young girl who was struggling to escape gang life. I spoke with the film's star, Jessica Romero. The California Senate race is nearly in a dead heat. President Obama will rally voters for Democratic nominee Barbara Boxer at USC tomorrow. But he's not the only one coming out with a message. Laurel Galanter has more.
Socialists and conservative groups say they'll be heading to USC this Friday to protest President Obama's visit. Obama will be there trying to move voters to vote for incumbent Barbara Boxer.
Great opportunity because of the attention that we have to raise this and say, listen, you know, this is what people want from our government and what we're demanding.
That was John Osmond. He's from the International Socialist Organization. His group will be competing with protesters from groups on the opposite side of the political spectrum.
And the main idea is that we want the pressure from progressives to be greater than the pressure from conservatives.
Jordan Marks is part of the conservative group Young Americans for Freedom. He says his group will be there delivering what's come to be a symbol of the suffering economy.
We're there to issue pink slips to the people that didn't perform in their jobs. So while the rest of us are looking for employment, you know, while they're going to a college campus where a significant portion of the population of students graduating do not have a bright future, we're going to be there voicing the opinion of what many are already thinking, is that we need change now.
But protesters might have trouble getting their message blasted on signs to the event. Banners and poster boards will not be allowed, and people attending the rally will have to go through metal detectors. Laurel Galanter, Annenberg Radio News.
Tuskegee Airmen remembered Roger Bill Terry today by dedicating a square to honor him in South Los Angeles. Albert Sabate has more.
One, two, three.
With that, the corner of 28th Street and Stanford Avenue became the Roger Bill Terry Square. The Los Angeles chapter of Tuskegee Airmen Incorporated and Councilwoman Jan Perry gathered to commemorate their friend who died last year of heart failure.
His contributions have helped to positively shape our future, and it is only fitting that we recognize this local hero.
Terry was not only one of the first African-American pilots known as the Tuskegee Airmen, but he was instrumental in desegregating the military. Ted Lumpkin is president of the Los Angeles Tuskegee Airmen.
We were very proud of Bill Terry. Bill Terry had an excellent record, but he's really famous for the Freeman Field incident.
The Freeman Field Mutiny took place in 1945. African-American officers used civil disobedience to draw attention to segregation in the military. 162 participated. Terry was one of three who was initially court-martialed. And 65 years later, integration has reached the highest levels of government.
The Commander-in-Chief is President Obama, and so he is kind of culmination of efforts to deal with segregation, integration.
But the military still faces issues of integration. The controversial Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy is bouncing back and forth between federal courts. Oliver Goodall, spokesperson for the local Tuskegee Airmen, says his experience shapes his view on military politics today.
We're all American, regardless of race, creed, or gender. Let the person, whoever they are, let them serve their country.
The current controversy dogging the military is not as much on the minds of the veterans as honoring their friend and fellow airmen. This is Albert Sabate, Annenberg Radio News.
This Sunday, the film Down for Life will screen here on the USC campus. The film is set in South Los Angeles and follows a day in the life of Rascal. Rascal runs a girl's clique in a local gang and finds herself choosing between a future in writing or a life ruled by her gang. I talked with the film star Jessica Romero about her experience on the film. I understand you were chosen for this role under unusual circumstances. What were they?
I was at school. I was going to Manual Art High School in South Central. They were having a casting call at my school. Some lady asked me if I wanted to be in a movie, and I told her, no, I'm cool, you know, I'm like, no thanks. And then another lady came up and asked me about 5 minutes later. She was just like, well, it's a really good opportunity for you, you know, just why don't you just go? So then I was like, all right, then, well, I'll go, you know. So then I went, and they were like asking all these girls, like, it was a lot of girls in the auditorium. And they were lined up on the stage, and they were going into this little room for about 3 minutes and coming out. So then it was my turn to go into that room, and I went in there for, like, 20 minutes. And those 20 minutes, they were just asking me different questions, like, am I in a gang? Have I ever been in a fight? Have I ever started a fight? So I just answered them pretty honest, you know? And then, well, here I am 3 years later.
And the reason why they were looking at high school is that they thought it would be better to choose kids from South Central to play these roles because they do relate to the story. How did you relate to this character Rascal's story?
At the time, I was more involved in, like, gangs and stuff. I didn't really have my priorities straight or anything. And the character Rascal, she's trying to discover herself, too, like, in the story. And at the time, that's really what I was going through. I mean, now I'm 18, and thanks to this movie, you know, I've kind of found my way, and I know exactly what I want to do with myself now.
And you said you know exactly what you want to do with your life now. Uh-huh. What is that?
My dream is to be a marine biologist. That's what I want to do with my life. But you see, before I didn't really look forward to anything besides the day that I was in. And now, you know, I have goals and stuff that of things I want to do like 5-10 years from now. I think Rascal goes through that. In our story, everything takes place in one day. But what I've kind of discovered in 3 years, she kind of discovers in that one day.
And this story was based on the actual writings of a girl at Locke High School.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you did her story justice?
Well, I heard it from her actual mouth. I mean, her name is Leslie Castillo. I met her a couple times. And, you know, she told us herself, you know, wow, you guys did it right.
Has being a part of this film sort of changed your mind about the power of art and the effect that it can have?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things out there, and there's a lot of different, you know, books and movies and poems. But it's different when something really comes straight from the heart, like when something is real. And I think that's how our movie is. There's no fancy stuff. There's no extra stuff. Like, it's just plain and real, and that's what, I think that's what touches people.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That was Jessica Romero from the film Down for Life. The film will screen for free this Sunday, October 24th, at the Ray Stark Family Theater here on campus. Proposition 23 would delay climate change legislation. It's one of the most publicized measures on the November ballot. Jessica Flores tells us what the proposition means for LA businesses.
Proposition 23 is one of the most publicized measures on the November ballot. The origin of Proposition 23 can be found in state law AB 32, also known as the Global Warming Solutions Act. If passed, Proposition 23 will halt AB 32 until the unemployment rate reaches 5.5% and remains there for a year. AB 32 was passed in 2006, and its provisions are set to go into effect in 2012. Supporters of Prop 23 say the law will raise energy costs by billions of dollars and destroy more than a million jobs. There's also strong opposition to Prop 23. No on 23's website notes that California's unemployment rate has only held steady at 5.5% for a whole year, three times since 1970. And they say Prop 23 is just a way to suspend AB 32 indefinitely. Opponents think there are not enough green jobs in California to bring down California's unemployment rate, which was 12.4% as of August. Jessica Flores, Annenberg Radio News.
Now we check in with Namisha Takor to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
It's no secret President Obama is coming to campus tomorrow, but hear what USC Democrats and Republicans have to say about the rally. Also, we talked to a political analyst about why his visit will encourage minority voters. Get all the information you could want about where to park, which streets will be shut down, and which campus buildings will be closed. For all of that and more, tune in to Annenberg TV News on Trojan Vision at 6.
Thanks, Namisha. Long Beach State Senator Jenny Oropeza died yesterday. The 53-year-old Oropeza had battled liver cancer and was suffering from a blood clot in her stomach. But the cause of her death is still unknown. She was the first elected to the legislature in 2000 and was known as an advocate for health and environmental causes. Oropeza's name will still be on the November 2nd ballot, and she's expected to easily defeat her Republican opponent. That would mean a special election if she's reelected. That's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Benjamin Campinos, Stephanie Kaiser, Julia Gabrick, Ryan Nunez, Stephanie Sherman, and Kyle Tebueno-Froli. Ariel Edwards-Levy is our producer. The executive producer is Jessica Flores. For all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm LaTanya Kirkland.